listen to the blood and respect for the offer to all. In times past and present, you have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings of their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Sarana, Gacchami, Vijayami, Tatiyami, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. And yet again may it be so. Dharma, Sarana, Gacchami. Vijayami, Tatiyami, Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. The medical truth of suffering, Sandhya, the medical truth of the origin of suffering, Nirodha, the medical truth of the extinction of suffering, Nirodha, Nirodha, the medical truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. And in this way, I most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without self. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I most deeply vow to train myself. My compassion and comprehension that dissipates delusion. My compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. And in this way, I do most secretly vow to train myself. With this recognition, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these ten great precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. And in this way, I most deeply vow to train myself. And in the practice of loving kindness, and in the practice of pure attention, and in the practice of ever-expanding faith, and in the practice of constant devotion, and in the practice of inquiry to correct dhamma. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. And in this way, I do most secretly vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
This saw this interesting thing when I was starting to say the recollection. Mm-hmm. What I don't usually catch is there's a commentary that goes along with the recollection.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to the contents of the enlightened mind, the contents of the enlightened mind, what I realized what I just saw was there's a belief that it's other minds. Not other minds.
Their enlightened minds.
Those are enlightened people's minds. I mean, I just hadn't caught that before. And I saw that, in other words, we all have enlightened minds, it's whether we're tuned into those minds. Because without that, we wouldn't experience the joy of intelligence in life itself.
Yeah.
So it was just interesting. I never caught that before.
Yeah.
And yet, seeing it, I realized it's always been there.
You realize that that commentary is like, yeah,
that particular belief, actually.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that is interesting. So as we begin the day of the recollection, the beginning of the sit, just today, for whatever reason, awareness was expanded enough
mm-hmm.
that you saw this thing that's really always been there in your thinking, but today you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was this hidden belief. And it's so interesting, isn't it? Because before we see it, it's not as if it's not having an impact.
Right.
Okay? It's having an impact.
Yeah.
And then we get to see it, and there's an opportunity to have a different relationship with it.
Yeah. And just realizing how that commentary is all about separation.
Yeah.
This is not your experience. This is not you.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
This is not your experience.
Yeah. But I didn't say that, so you don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking about that process with someone recently, that place where, you know, it can seem like, well, you know, we're doing a process now, but I was thinking, man, don't really say that. I mean, and it doesn't, because that happened in a split second,
right.
And yet it would take you several paragraphs to write out. But the meaning is there.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's just this little tiny moment, and the whole thing is transmitted.
Right. Yeah.
So I was looking at the also similar to a process of separation.
Mm.
Well, a couple of things. I had this really delightful experience yesterday. First of all, I got to care for the dogs for a couple of days, which is, oh gosh. It's like I forget, and then I get to be with both of them for a couple of days, and then it's like, oh, I love this.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then the next time, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
It's like, oh gosh, it was such a boost to this human being. You know, I love getting up a little early, and I've never up at that hour walking around in, you know, in the woods, or like getting walking after the schedule, because they're both especially specific. Are we going to walk now? Are we going for a walk? And people walk, following me around. And so.
No, exactly. That's right at your heels, right?
We're going to go for a walk.
No, it's time to walk. I'm not moving.
Exactly.
Sit on the porch.
Yeah. So in the evening, when it cooled down a little bit, we would go for a walk, and it was just typical. Sadie, like, okay, let's go. And Pache, like, eh.
Okay. Really?
And so we did two nights of that. And then last night, typical Sadie, and Pache is just like, And we get over the bridge. To walk, we're going to walk down to the lower road, and he stops, he turns, he looks at that little water area that's just to the, if you're walking from the building away from the building over the bridge to the right before the water falls down, and he just climbs in, and he just plopped down in the water, like splash, and then he just started licking water wherever he could, just because, you know, there's no straining, no negotiating bees in the little dog bowl. It's just all around him, so he's just licking up water, and I just started laughing in delight.
Yeah.
And then I watched this thing coming about, well, why now?
Yeah.
I mean, out of the, especially the last, why would you do that in the middle of the, you know? And I'm like, that's the same process that happens to me. There's a delight, there's something I discover, there's something that benefits. Well, I mean, why don't you do that earlier?
Why didn't you do that before?
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, well, it was time to do it. I mean, it was so clear, he doesn't think like that.
Right.
And it was time to do it when it was time to do it.
Yeah.
And that's always true for all of us.
Yeah.
And what a waste of time to be like, well, why didn't you?
Before?
I mean, I don't understand. I mean, maybe you could explain this to me, why you didn't go, you know, trying to parse it and figure it out and understand
yeah.
it,
yeah.
rather than just the delight of the beauty just walking in the water and drinking, you know?
Yeah. It's the experience, object you're describing of the difference between living in the head. Well, let me see. Now, is it time to go in the water? Let me
yeah,
see.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, no, it's not that you did the bang. I would have been, you know, well, or just being right here in the moment and just, you know, receiving the call of the phone, the water.
Yeah. I love that reflection of imagining Pache. Well, I mean, I'm not really sure. I mean, it might be a little hotter later. I mean, it just, and of course, we live in that all the time as if that's legitimate.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's so good because it kind of connects with what Dr. Kenny was pointing out, where so I was looking at something similar this morning of that all of that conditioned process can go on as long as we're here and it's in awareness.
Yeah.
Because when we're here and in awareness,
yeah.
we can just watch it pass by. And we don't have to go with it in terms of, oh yeah, now we can see, what is that, blah, blah, blah. But we can just stay right here as those voices attempt to pull me up into the head and just don't go.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't go there.
Well, that I think that connects to the other thing I was looking at. So it seems like a pretty core piece of our practice is not what but how. Or
it does seem like
or very understatement. And I was looking at that about the what that provides for us to have that perspective at looking at the how. Because of course, you know, after we live for a while we realize we really don't have any control over it. The what, you know, like, well, that accident did happen in front of me on the highway, and I am stuck in traffic, and it looks like I'm going to be late to work. I mean, I'm not in control of that, or you know, someone dies, or you know, this thing comes in, or that thing comes in, or even this thought or this feeling.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's really just it's the how of it all. It's like how not what I feel, but how I feel, or
exactly.
not what I feel,
how I am
with what I feel. Yeah, it's all that relationship, and in that sense, it's really cool because another thing we talk about is taking 100% responsibility for our experience all the time,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way that's the process of doing that. I mean, it's just such a lovely place to be a participant, to live a life rather than being directed and run. And use.
Yes. Wow. To be able to live a life instead of being directed and used.
Yeah.
And all the time, I suggest the way it gets us so easily is we think that's me. And
yeah.
That's what I want.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to rearrange the things. And, you know, we can't take responsibility for our lives in that place.
We
can only attempt to be in control of it.
Yeah.
Have only the things that will happen that will make me feel the way that I want to feel. And we can catch that the whole setup is there only because it's impossible.
It's impossible, thank goodness.
Right.
I mean, it is amazing how much I've tried to do that, given the evidence that it hasn't. Although it always does bring in this evidence of, remember when you did go to that place, or did what you did see that person, and then that experience happened, remember those connections? Trying to get me to believe it's the person, it's the place I was that is, that drove the experience.
Yeah.
But of course, all we have to do is go back to that same, whatever, even beautiful waterfall or something, and see. I mean, we can have a completely different experience, or actually not even be enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't point out all the time. And remember the other times where you did have all those things and you weren't at all happy?
Yeah.
And you were miserable, yeah. And I was making you suffer?
Yeah, it has to do with this conversation that you're listening to right now.
Because again, you know, I always go to that place of, if I'm talking to a really good friend, would I ever take that back? Well, remember that time when you were so happy, and it was because of that thing. So you better try getting that thing again.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the only way you're ever going to be that happy again.
So. Maybe I don't know if you're going to get it, but I mean, good try.
Yeah, in fact, you probably won't.
Yeah.
That was probably like just a fluke of a thing, but good luck.
But maybe if you're the right person, you'll.
Yeah, try harder, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I was looking at the word responsibility, because boy, that can go through a filter. It's essentially blame.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now it's your fault for because you're not happy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this Christian fellow I listened to. He really likes to break down the words and explore the origins of words. But it's just really simply responsibility, the ability to respond.
Yes.
And I love that because that's what we're not creating this world. You know, I mean, in a way we are by learning the ability to respond. But I like that word ability because it implies that it's a skill.
Yes.
Just like the ability to throw a football or the ability to use a computer. I mean,
yes.
Maybe there's some propensity, maybe that's what we call karma, to certain abilities. But they're all things you can practice and develop.
Yes.
And I love that. So it's like, I could participate in my life. I can have full responsibility 100% of the time for my experience. And I can learn to do that.
Yep. Yep. And from that place of, if that's my attitude of life, that I'm learning to be responsible, I'm learning to be able to respond, to be here in the moment, then everything that happens, including an awareness of when I wasn't there, and that, you know, when there wasn't a response, there was a, you know, wanting to control or whatever it is, then that just becomes part of my training.
Yes.
Right? And then that's a really big place.
That's a really big place.
Because then it can go however it goes, and you know, I see whatever I see in it, and I'm not. There's not that one more layer of control. And now, what I'm going to do is control how I respond.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah, well, that and the last piece is, and this is where I don't want to move into a process of separation. I can see myself, or I can see the mind trying to get it or whatever. But so we had this massive gift yesterday afternoon of doing a session. And just the support, essentially, to be, have our attention here on presence for several hours. And I watched the whole system respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by the end, it's like the upper body just feels weightless. Even when I stand up and walk, it's like, it's like gravity's not here, or it's not here in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like, you know, that large expanded awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, what is responding to that? It just felt like everything responded, essentially, I guess, to the attention being directed.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it's sort of like, well, who's what and that kind of thing. You know, like, well, what is the agency here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that's where I want to stop and just let the next insight drop in.
Yeah.
And just a delight in that experience, just like delighting in Pache and the water.
So if I'm following what you're saying, it's almost like watching the system respond to that extended period of this sort of being present.
Yeah.
And not really having any sort of a delightful, I didn't do that. I didn't decide that. I didn't, but it's just a response to that, like a physiological
response. Like a physiological response.
I love that. That response bit because I saw when the story about Pache getting in the water was being told, I was so happy to hear that he did that.
Mm-hmm.
And what responded was the love of Pache, mm-hmm. because I had just last week tried to put some water in the blue wading pools and try to get him in there. No, he wasn't going.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
And he didn't even drink it. I had at least drink some before you know it was a little bit of, he didn't even want to drink any. So the tree got a little bit of drink. But anyway, the what I saw in that, my response to hearing, oh good, he knows that he can do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, so what was motivating me was love of Pache, wanting him to be cool and comfortable in his feet. Mm-hmm. And he's fine. He knows he knows where the water is when he wants to fall down in it.
Yeah.
And getting to see that was operating all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a love.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a, well, why didn't you do it? Why didn't you, you know, no.
Yeah.
It was
when I put the water.
Yeah. I went all that trouble, hauled that water all the way over to my house where I could, you know. And what was under it all was just the love. And what was responding in that moment was, okay, we're all adequate.
Uh-huh. You know, we've got the information. And you can make that choice if you want to.
Exactly. And I got the experience. The love.
Yeah. That you realize, it sounds like it's sort of similar to what Patty was saying, I mean, a different version of it, but that's what was there the whole time. It's just that suddenly that particular mirror held it up and you could see it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what's motivating us.
Yeah.
And it's been there all along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the process, I had the real benefit of recognizing one of those places of practice that Sherry says is so one of the best things in practice, where we are taken over by the karma, but we're here to see the whole process.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just fascinating. So I want to unpack it a little bit. So I could, and it doesn't really remind the content, but I could just feel the heaviness, the sin, mm-hmm. and the crushing kind of mm-hmm. identity. And I just, it was sort of like perking up on some level of awareness, perking up like, okay, here we
uh-huh. yeah.
watch.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was real soft.
Really soft.
My intention just really under this
opportunity. Mm-hmm.
And while I was watching the emotions get depressed and tender on edge, like I knew I could have an outburst in a minute here.
Uh-huh.
The emotions really uh-huh. get like an exposed nerve would yeah. be. Uh-huh. That was there.
Mm-hmm.
And the thoughts of I've got to get a different life.
Mm-hmm.
That was there, and mm-hmm. it always is.
Uh-huh. It goes with that.
Mm-hmm. It goes with all of those sensations.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's a looking to find out what was the matter. I mean, it was just mm-hmm. textbook in everything that I always see.
Mm-hmm.
Textbook mm-hmm. in almost even the same sequence
uh-huh.
of how yeah. it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And to be in the position of seeing, and the thing was, the interesting thing was, I couldn't get out of it.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. Yeah. I couldn't get out of it. So all the things are happening in textbook, even in the same sequence, and you know them, they're very familiar. But it's not like you can just say, okay, I'm going to stop doing that.
Exactly. And I didn't even believe them, and I still couldn't get out of it.
Yeah.
It was a little bit like, I know I should look away, but I can't.
Uh-huh.
I'm like a train. I know I don't want to be seen, so I can't stop watching
uh-huh.
it.
Yeah, I know I should look away, but I can't. Realizing that all the attention is there,
yeah.
but there isn't the ability to turn it.
And still, exactly, that's it. And still, it just... There's this the way I'm going to say it is misrepresenting the amount of agency that was in this action, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I pulled out my recorder and stuck in my earbuds,
mm-hmm.
and it does. There was absolutely no decision
uh-huh.
or thought to do it.
So that's where you say overstating the agency,
right?
I'm going to get out my recorder.
I'll get out my recorder it wasn't like that at all.
It was just the reporter was there. I mean, how do you even say it?
Exactly. The effortless action. Or I think that that's Wu Wei or Haiwei when we don't talk about that. Yeah. No one's there. There's no one doing that action. Mm-hmm. And even that, it wasn't at all a for the purpose of getting out of it per se, but it kind of was. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like, this is to my mouth.
And it was not like what you're saying is that it's not like I need this and I want to get out of it, so I'm going to put the recorder on.
Yeah.
It was just recorder. This is the way out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like, okay. You know, I can't redirect the attention, even though I'm not enjoying this, I can't redirect the attention. But then there was sort of this scooping down of, this is the redirection of the attention, like you've seen enough, or something.
Yeah.
It felt a little bit like being saved.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So there, because you said earlier, there wasn't the ability to get out of it. I can't remember how you said it exactly, because it is interesting in terms of sort of what Scott was saying at the end there, that agency thing. And so clear that I can't get out of this. And yet, it, the way you described it at the beginning, some sense of, as Sherry points out, that's an incredibly helpful place. So if we weren't to put any labels of good, bad, right, wrong, what kind of a practitioner I should be, what to get religious around, you know, the workshop goes on, and for as long as it needs to go on, we get to see what we see, and then in comes that scooping up kind of piece of, you know.
That's exactly what I was thinking about, yeah. And so just a word about attention and awareness in that workshop was attention was really on all the physical stuff and non-physical, you know, thoughts, mental stuff too. And it really, there was obviously the awareness that was holding it all, and that was even the, there's an opportunity, you know, kind of thing. And it just sort of leaves me in a bit of the mystery of what, who's who, what it's all about.
And I don't know if this is part of it for you, but when I look at those sort of places in practice, it's a place of, over years, it kind of engenders this relaxing into the trust of the process. Right? It's just part of what happens, that we go through those workshops, and that part of the nature of it is that when we're in the middle of it, I don't want this. It doesn't feel good. And that's okay. You know, there's a more, greater and greater and greater, it gets held in that awareness that you're describing, that it will always be like this, and, you know, it, but it, we can't skip it. We can't go around it.
Yeah. It's that quote that I'm, my mantra of like just letting the flow happen.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
And such a, I mean, such a great place to report, right? Because it's so hard when we're in the middle of it. And because by the nature of it, we can't see that larger picture. But then every time we come out the other side with that, wow, it's an amazing experience.
Can I add one up?
Yeah.
Because thank you for saying that. It's such a great place to record. Because what I've noticed, again, in very subtle and almost nonverbal ways, is there's something that there's a lack of an ability to record something like this right now. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up in group was because I knew I could talk about it in this context. And I'll go back and I'll record it from the recording when it's posted. And I'll have it. And I'm watching that too. It's sort of like my next in the queue workshop, I can tell. It's what's going on with this? No, not, and again, not from the place that there's anything wrong. But just, I just didn't. I don't know if I couldn't or wouldn't or didn't, but I just didn't record about it. But I knew I could talk about it here. The power of language is powerful. The power of facilitation. Kind of a, we'll hold your hand until you can walk, do it. I don't know, but we'll see.
I found that a fascinating workshop as well. And one of the things I looked at with them is that the stakes are really, really high for the voices in a situation like that. Because, of course, what the when we disidentify as profoundly as you're describing, then the best shot it's got is to just move on, you know, just move on quietly, move on, or, you know, whatever it's got kind of in its arsenal. But to report from that place of, wow, I'm grateful for that experience, and it was amazing, and da da da, that's going to be super dangerous for the voices, because then if I'm not trying to avoid identification, what's it going to hold over me, right? And so for me, that's really where the fox and warrior and the scrambler can come in, like, hey, well, I'm not really sure if that was it. But then exactly as you say, if I'm not talking about it in the room, you can't really do a thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we're all sitting here looking at it. Yeah. So what's it going to do? It can't scramble away in that same way as when we're being facilitated to something.
So everybody's really addressed what I'm looking at this morning, and it is that non-separation, but so a little bit of content is that I received a black eye.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did, and a very impressive one. And it was self-inflicted, you know. It wasn't like I could say, you know.
A baseball game.
It was just, you know, one of those moves, and it was like, oh, my God.
But even that's kind of interesting, right? Like, what kind of self-inflicted?
Yeah.
You know what? Here I go. I'm going to...
So I'm looking at this in terms of what I've been looking at a lot. What I look at a lot is just caring for everything with unconditional love. And, you know, there's just such a deep desire to do that because it just feels so good to do that.
Yeah.
And so when this injury happened, I was kind of shocked to watch the self-hate come in. I need eyes. I don't want to bother people, you know. I don't have anything to wrap the white eyes in. How about this dirty used tissue that, you know? Mm-hmm. And just watching that, like, oh, my God. You know? And there's that... there is that deep desire to care for everything with unconditional love and make every act a sacred act. And then watching how the human got excluded from that.
And it's that place, right? This is my human. I can make those.
I get to make, exactly.
I can make her because she belongs to me.
Right. It's my property, and we'll just, you know, we'll just give her the minimum. It always keeps falling back to that same process. We'll give her the minimum to survive and not,
But of course, if anyone else, what would have been the reaction? Oh my gosh, stop everything.
Right.
Let's go get a towel.
Right.
Let's get what we need. Let's go. Okay, we're going to need some ice for later. Okay, let's.
There would be nothing more important in that moment than to do what was presented.
Yeah.
I mean, what was there, what was happening.
Yeah. And interestingly, even having the professional training to know what to, what needs to be.
That was interesting, too. You know, to know, oh my gosh, I know what to do. Not here. Mm-hmm. And so I've been looking at that thing of, you know, how we talk about if you know, when you've got a to-do list or, you know, there's standards to meet, like cut them in half and then cut them in half again and then cut them in half again. You know, it's like, so what's the flip side in this situation? Yeah, so what, you know, what's that?
What am I allowed to do?
What am I allowed to do? And then double it.
Double
and then triple it. And then quadruple it. And, yeah, what would that look like?
Oh, gosh. And it's what Sherry was talking about. This has come up for me so many times at that radio show, where I think she was talking to someone in the morning show about getting fresh flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the woman was saying she really should not allow to have fresh flowers. She loves to have fresh flowers, but you know, there's all this stuff. And Sherry was making the point of, you know, yeah, fresh flowers, go for it. Not because of the content of fresh flowers, but because you've got to go against that line in the sand that the voices have drawn.
Yeah.
So yes, for the eye, yes, for the, you know, for all those reasons, and sort of the queen of all the reasons being, we have to. It really is life and death.
Yeah.
You know, we're being, back to what I think Rebecca was saying, we're being controlled.
Yeah.
You know, we're being controlled in that way. I think it's not, I'm not sure. But anyway, that place of no, we're going to double it, you know, and just watch it. Oh, actually, you know what? We're going to double it again.
Yeah.
And one more time, you know, and just watch it go crazy.
Watch it go crazy, yeah. We're going to go to the emergency room.
Because we're going to.
We're going to have a doctor look at that.
Yeah, we're going
to. You can know that.
Even if we weren't lying, we're going to stay longer.
Right. You know, So that's the antidote that life drops in is what to work with. This kind of thing.
And you know what, of course, is going to be an extraordinary side benefit of that is that a human being will feel self-care for it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, we always hear it, it's such a cliche, but that's the prerequisite to true unconditional care.
Yeah.
Because we can't give what we don't have.
Boy, yeah, you know, and I have noticed, and I don't know, it's probably not an accident, I don't, maybe it was going on before this happened, but I have been noticing an increasing level of annoyance.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, it's like just this annoyance with everybody and everything, you know, and I'm like, well, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
What the heck is going on here?
Yeah.
You know, and, people don't have to do anything, you know. It's quite very annoying the way they're breathing.
Yep.
You know? So just seeing, this is the outpouring. This is the out, outcrop of being excluded from the circle of caring.
Because if we take that process that you're describing to the extreme, it's basically like, you can't exist. And so anyone who is, and God forbid if they're meeting a need.
Right. If they're,
my God, is that going to be annoying?
Yeah, that is really irritating. You know? Yeah.
Because this person is not being cared for, and why should other people be cared for? Why am I not allowed to be cared for?
So then, you know, it's so clear what an act of love it is to do that caring, because, you know, and it's just that.
Exactly. You know what? We're told it's so egocentric, right, to focus on myself. That, in theory, that's why I'm not going to do that, because it's so egocentric. And that, like Sherry points out all the time, that stance of she can be ignored, she's not, that's the ultimate egocentric stance.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
And you're describing how the awareness sees the connection between those two things.
Yeah, it really does. So, and there's an element in there too, I realize that we were talking, it's an element too of, I think, of out of control being that there's no control. Mm-hmm. You know, it's annoying to, you know, seeing care in others, but also that I can't control nothing, you know, and then sometimes it's really obvious how to out of control.
The one tiny movement.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, I don't know if this is a piece of what you're seeing in it too, but what I just saw when you said that was, you know, that feeling of, wow, I can't control anything. Mm-hmm. And if we're in a process of where, in order to be okay, I need to,
yeah.
then that's really irritating and scary and annoying and all those things. Mm-hmm. If we're in awareness of that, oh, I can't control anything, but I can have an influence on my relationship with it, and I can care unconditionally as a person through that,
yeah.
then our relationship with realizing we're out of control, you know, not in control, is completely different.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I was just seeing that same thing, you know. Then it just becomes, you know, it's not about the content, it's about the process. I can care so deeply no matter what is, you know, no matter what's happening. It just doesn't matter. And then, oh, there's that place that just feels so, you know, just so, care so deeply, you know, respectfully for all of life.
All of life.
Yeah,
that compassion, that care, that... You know, be kind to everyone you meet, for everyone is fighting in our battle. I mean, you know,
yeah,
anything can happen at any moment, and it does.
Yeah, it does. It totally does. Yeah.
So helpful. I was thinking about that movement that was pointed out about, you know, Crutcher's wing it or whatever. And literally, as I was looking, as she was talking, I felt physically ill at the idea of it. I guess that's a good cue. Oh my gosh. It was just like. And before I came this morning, I was looking at so first of all, I had to read this thing at church. So I was reading a scripture. Mm-hmm. And I was practicing. Mm-hmm. And while I was practicing, it was this one about essentially, you're saying, a shepherd, and you're saying, woe to the shepherd who got the job and isn't doing it well. And God is essentially saying, I'm going to come in and I'm going to take him to a beautiful meadow and whatever because you've taken him down. I don't know if that's what it goes to. Anyway, so at first, to kind of get into it, I was trying to envision, you know, the external shepherds I'd be talking to, you know, political figures and things like that. And then I realized that it wasn't working. I started talking to ego. And I started disidentifying, you know, like, you don't get control of my life anymore.
Yeah.
And then I get there, and the whole thing is about all the other scriptures that were read and whatever was about rest and self-care, essentially, which is like the motto that ego in my life does not want to hear any more about.
Yeah.
I don't have time for self-care, thank you very much.
Right.
I got way too many things going.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is not working. So that's why when it's suggested, so then I was looking at these figures before anybody started the talking. So that whole process of bringing it back in, and it was really helpful. You know, the whole service and then coming down here and people talking and meditation, I'm like, here, this is it. You know, this person.
Yeah.
And even like it would go off about all the things I need to do and build, and then I just built myself a little. Imagine Dumbledore keeping the thoughts away. Anyway, I watched that there's two conditioned responses that I get caught in. So the one that's familiar and I know and it's difficult to believe I should disidentify from is that everything's fine. I got this. It's not too much. I'm good.
Yeah.
And then there are those moments, like glimpses almost of the truth is it's actually not.
Yeah.
And then it switches right into like Chicken Little.
Uh-huh.
Right, the sky falling.
Right, that's that. Quick move through center.
Yeah. And how they work together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, see, it's Chicken Little. It's really not that bad. It's just Chicken Little. You know, everything's fine. You know, and the whole thing. And then
you just watch ego talk with the ball back and forth over and
Exactly. It's such a good description because it's like, because then I'm distracted.
Yeah.
I'm watching the football rather than the truth.
What's actually happening.
Right. Okay, so I need a drink of water, and I need to sit down.
Yeah.
And I need to receive some help here because it isn't easy right now. And I need to say, yeah, go ahead and cut. And so my sister's going to come visit. And I mean the relief at saying yes to that. Oh my gosh. And I mean, people have been offering for a while. No, I mean, how are we doing?
You know?
I'll just disidentify and be at center and I got it. Right?
Pretty true.
Because if I'm centered, I don't need help.
That's right.
Because then there's the whole other thing.
That's proof that I just need to get centered.
Exactly. You're with me. Oh, such a relief that people.
I've never experienced
that.
I'm just projecting.
And you know that help. So then it's not the Chicken Little and that. Then it's the, like, shame and desperation. You know, like, shame, I can't ask for help.
Yeah.
Because, you know, then that means in some way I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm inadequate.
Yeah.
And then if I go into asking for help, then I've been irresponsible and needy, and somehow it's my fault again. I've created this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, so, the relief. Now, if I'm in all of that that was just described, then I start believing the solution is something external.
Uh-huh.
Now, it'll come in and say the thing about disidentifying, but it doesn't really need it.
No, it needs it as a content.
It needs it as a content, not a process. Exactly. So that's why I think there's this sick at my stomach. Ego gets sick at its stomach. She was looking at that, I'm like, wow, not just my sister. I could actually call this person who's offered. And then I could actually maybe... And then immediately, and those things are really just popping in, that I immediately go to... then it jumps into that other duality to distract me from the possibilities or something. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's kind of that thing, mystery. It's what we're
talking about. Wow, the whole thing opened up in a way that really wasn't supposed to open up. Awareness was seeing you had the front row seat, just like Rebecca was talking about.
Yeah.
The whole thing's opening up, and then it's like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. I can't really report about that because I can't really.
Exactly. Right. And I don't want to listen to this because I don't actually know how to do that very well.
Not really
technologically. Exactly. So I'll just go home and forget and get desperate again and do all the dishes and tell everybody to get in line.
You know what I just saw with that thing that's really pretty impactful for me? That if we do take the insight, even the content of the insight, so, all right, so I said yes to my sister and this other person, I'm going to keep doubling it. Then what I project happens to us is here we are sitting in this room, that's an insight, and we can feel the impact that can have. But then we go back. And then what I do anyway is reference conditioned mind to say, is that really going to work? You know that isn't really going to work.
Yeah.
So then I'm not really sure because that's actually a bad idea. But if we would write down or record that content thing and just do it, we would have a workshop. I can't remember why this was a good idea.
Yeah.
It have it right here on
the screen. Well, it's like the Pache thing for me. So, okay, I'm Pache. I'm here and I'm in the water.
Yeah.
But I go back and, you know, it's not really hot enough. But the great thing about the Pache thing was we didn't do it in the middle of the day, so I can reference that. We actually did it in a logical time of the day.
Exactly.
Because it was listening to itself. So, in that way, it's kind of the same thing. Don't go back like what you're saying is, because that's definitely what I'll do. I'll think about it.
Exactly.
It won't just
I'll think about it.
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Only think about, oh, okay, but I start through, with, you know, what you say through. Oh, but I start through. Because it's such such skin.
Yeah.
And so lots of compassion on this person, because it's extremely likely that that's exactly what we just said is exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make the one call, that's enough. And because it really gets me in the selfish thing, and so it'll start saying, no, do you really need that? No, you know, I mean, sister's coming, that's enough. And so, well, everybody else is a doctor, but you know, you want to wait till the right time. Till the time you know.
Is there any tissue for the eyes?
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's so
like a towel that isn't going to drip all over
me. You know, it works.
Yeah.
But would I do that for anybody else? No.
No.
No. No.
Never. Yeah, and that's the truth, right? Okay. If this were my sister, would I be saying,
right,
first of all, do you really need me to come?
Yeah.
Right. And now that I'm coming, I mean, you're not going to call her, right?
Right.
I'm coming, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to get overly
don't
care here. I mean, we get by.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And this is going to work. And then that whole, the thing that really, that whole process forgets that I have a black eye.
Yes.
You know, it takes me away from the truth.
That's so important.
And then there's nobody paying attention to the truth.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Like Pachi.
Yeah.
Ha.
Yeah. And that is so the power of the two-man recording. Just let her have the left eye.
Mm-hmm.
And to talk about what's going on for her with that, and how it feels, and she can hate it or feel however she feels about it, and all of it. Right? Because then we have the best opportunity to move through the thing instead of just survive it. Right? And through the thing, whatever it is, that's where the transformation is. Because, of course, it's the ripple effect, right? So, I mean, you know, me asking for help from my sister and from Mona, that's going to impact their lives and leading us in a really positive way. Right? Because it feels really good to be able to do that for someone. You know, with all those things that, you know, the care ripples out from there. When I'm caring here, it's a process of care, and everyone around receives that care. When it's a process of deprivation, and it's a process of withholding, and that's what ripples out.
I'm
going
to have to get that recorded. You know, I can see it. You know how you just, when you, it's just like, ugh!
And I like your point about compassion for the, so not decide, you know, okay, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to call everyone, and I'm going to hum on, and making that into the standard.
Right.
If I don't do that, then see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's more the thing that waits for us. You know, it used to wait for me in my hermitage at night. Now I don't have hermitage at night, so now it's just right there, you know, waiting for, to walk out of the property.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. When it's God's alone.
When it's God's alone. Mm-hmm. So,
that was fun. I was looking at kind of a miniature process, like the process that I typically go through, collapse down to striving or being driven on one side, and then resignation on the other.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of
could be.
Yeah, that's right. there's more stuff that can happen on either side, but that seems to be kind of the big strokes. And how
striving and resignation.
Okay, on either side, right. And so tuning into the striving side and disidentifying pretty regularly on that side, so kind of dropping the awareness to some things that might have slipped under the radar previously. And then what that seemed to do was just leave me with resignation.
Interesting.
It's like the rest of the process is not accessible, so it just stays there, just kind of hung out there.
Mm-hmm.
Which to start is kind of shocking. The system's kind of like, well, and I can feel the energy kind of drain out. And then so just being okay with being there on a continuous basis and still tuning into when the system's going to attempt to move to the other side of it. And I think it's really just the gift of staying there, not trying to get out of it. The awareness at some point arrived.
Uh-huh.
And so even the resignation could dissolve into not the other side of the cycle, but just into well-being.
Yeah.
And how in that place then conditioning was coming back with pretty much whatever it had.
Uh-huh.
you know, the hand on the forehead. Or me on all of those kinds of things. And I can see how, I know the way that Sherry has talked about it is that being able to see what conditioning is up to in that place is a better deal. I don't know if a better deal is the right word, but the other option would be to be so disidentified that conditioning's gone.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's actually doing,
right.
But I know it's doing something, and I don't know where
and
how it's
and
doing
it. Back.
And it's going to come back in
yeah.
a really unskillful, unfortunate place.
Yeah.
And so it was really, there's kind of comfort in just having it do what it's doing, and it was really just running through whatever.
Yeah.
It was just the program running through whatever it was going to run through.
Yeah.
No need to stop it or.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a version of what Rebecca was talking about in the front row seat, you know, that place where it's all happening.
Yeah.
And I'm not sort of having that glorious center, you know, all the lights come on. It's happening. But there's not any resistance to it.
There is no resistance, that's right.
And that is so big. I think it feels like what you're describing is an experience of what, at least for me, has been a subtle place of practice, where we talk about the only way the duality can stay in place is for both sides to stay in play.
Yeah.
And if we were to just stay on one side of the duality, the game would be up. And that's what you're describing, is we get left on one side. When we've really seen through the striving side, in this case, we're left with the resignation. But if we don't panic, you know, we're going to go, uh-oh, which is what's going to get us right back to the other side, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we just stay there and be willing for that and to practice through it, then the awareness arrives. It just does.
Yeah, it's magical.
It is.
Totally.
And when we have that, at least for me, when we have that experience with one thing, so in this case, resignation, we begin to build the faith that wherever we are really is perfect, and we don't need to do anything about that, and we don't need to try to change it. So let me just stay here and allow the awareness to arise.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Good.
The other thing was, it was very fun having guys only.
It's the way the thing went. All the women were off the property and there were just men here. It's not really usual at the moment.
No, it's not, yeah. And so we cooked, we did dishes, we mopped, we swept, we did all those things. We had guests over one evening.
I'm all for the whole world, really.
So, it's perfect.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Yeah, I like the idea a week ago when somebody said, I just want to have my voice heard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm participating.
Part of the choir.
Yeah. I don't have much to say, like a long group, I was like overwhelmed with so many things to say, but this time I'm just seeing how, wow, I'm
here.
You're sitting and listening, and that's okay too.
Exactly.
So kind of seeing the whole range of what is it, the energy, but so all that, there is participation.
Yeah.
There is
quiet
participation.
Yep.
And there is loud and screaming participation.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are all
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I saw this week was I had this great insight, and it was like so big, and it felt like I finally got what Shady was talking last week when all what was in the blog I read last week about that's conditioning thoughts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not your thoughts.
Not your thoughts. No.
It's conditioning that. So what I kind of took with that, I took an example of forces the condition to get into. And I said, beg the condition to flip your thing. That's not mine.
Yeah. So kind of that, thanks for sharing. I'm going to keep my attention here.
Well, it was just so fun to say. But also, when I brought it up, I said, like, okay, let me take a look at this, like, at your thing. Like, what is this? Okay, this, this, and this. Well, nothing to do with me.
No. I feel
like it's like, and then I saw what was behind it, was kind of old story. There was sometime years ago, and it kind of gets stuck while there, and it keeps bringing up.
Yeah.
But it's out of date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So conditioning, if you really want to get it, you might need to get current. You need some new material.
And then, actually, there's a different group, and then, it was quiet. Was so like, wow, it just doesn't work anymore. Kind of it reveals itself and it doesn't have attraction. So it was quiet for a while.
then
it starts like going into like, wow, you really got it.
You are on it, man. I mean, that is behind you.
Yeah.
You are never going to play the game again.
It was just like I seen a magician kind of from the other side, like going through the trick.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, I know the trick. And then yesterday, beginning today, it starts bringing this stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, it's not working, but look, I can give you a longer into this.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. So it starts again. And on the background, it wants to tell me, well, see, it's not working.
Now you're
believing
again. So you're
getting
again.
Yeah, getting again. You are failing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you got it, but you didn't really got it. So it's kind of taking the seat of Sun Zen, to say, like, what works, what not in practice, and which tool to bring and so on. And as you pointed a few minutes ago, I'm just here through all this, process. The way it gets me big, the way it gets me little, the way it doesn't get me, the way it starts gets me again.
It's that place of not taking any of it personally. Right, we're just watching all of it. So I go through a period of time where I have a huge insight and I see it full game and I don't take that personally.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then it's just this game and I start believing it.
Yeah.
Wow, you thought you had it and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? We don't get interested or take any of it personally.
Yeah. And what helps is that spirit of repetition being through this so many times.
Exactly. It takes that, doesn't it?
Yeah, and being caught so many times at different angles of that.
Yep.
Now it's like, okay, yeah, you got me again.
Yeah.
I've been there. Let's
and I'm not trying not to get God.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not believing.
I'm not playing that game.
Yeah,
that's not the game I'm playing.
Yeah, I'm not buying into a game like, well, now I'm not going to get this
exactly.
game.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm just, through all of it. And then a couple of days ago when I was kind of turning tables on it, it's then, it's when it's, I'm most vulnerable
vulnerable to you got it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah. When I'm the hunter,
yeah.
It quickly loses its game.
Yeah, exactly.
And congratulate me. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So, so now I'm not only a hunter, I'm kind of disinterested hunter.
Uh-huh.
The
yeah.
hunter who is not to, to win.
Yeah.
The hunter who is just continue the practice.
Yeah. Yep, just here, just curious. Yeah.
Yeah. What comes next? Mm-hmm. I don't know what comes next.
Yeah.
But I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I have my tools
yeah.
ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all. I don't know if anyone might be free, but I just was wondering if somebody would have noticed something that's attacked it badly. I don't want to put some agathon on it, so if anyone might be free to help with that for 10 minutes, that would be helpful. I don't know if that's possible.